Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 16. Tony DeBolfo, myself, Tony Moclair. Tone, after the feast cometh the famine.
Yes.
Well.
It was light on for cheer, wasn't it, the weekend, Tony, I have to admit. It was a great month while it lasted, but I guess for the players it was somewhat of a reality check.
Well, I always like when there's an economic downturn, they don't say it's a depression or recession, they say it's a correction. But look, as I always do, one of the first things I do after a game is head to the CarltonFC.com.au website and you watch the press conference. And Brendan Bolton, if you don't love that man, please see a psychiatrist. The things he hammers home, and they are great things. It's all about equilibrium. And he was not a man greatly fazed by the loss. I think he was greatly educated by it to a certain extent. And it just hammers home the point that there is still a lot of growth to do at the club.
Very true, Tony. He articulates the point beautifully. As you said, you know, you can listen to the man talk all day. I certainly could. And what is good too, he maintains an equilibrium win, lose or draw. Mm. So I think he's quite measured in his response by and large after every performance, whether it's win or lose. But as you said, looking at the loss to North Melbourne, I'm sure reading between the lines that Brendan Bolton and the Brains Trust have taken much from that contest in terms of where the Carlton team is at, where it needs to improve and what needs to be done, to use that cliche, as we move forward. So, he's so impressive, isn't he, to listen to, and we're in good hands, Tony, it's fair to say.
Do you know another thing? This is just before we go and dissect the game further, but this an observation I made. He never addresses the journalist by their name. You notice that? He does not assume any familiarity when he's in there. He's just there to basically, we've talked about this before, he's perfunctory but without being blunt.
Yes.
Or rude, but this is just part of it's a duty he discharges and then he goes. So there's no assumed familiarity, as I said, there's no jocularity. It's just, you want information, I'll give it to you and then I'm on to the next
thing
that I have to do.
He doesn't labour the point. No. You know, he answers the questions, it's economy of words, it's succinct, it's to the point, move on to the next.
Yeah.
He's very, very impressive and how fortunate we are that he is overseeing this rebuild, or the reset, as he calls it, of our football team, Tony.
Indeed. Now, Tony, I guess you look at the lack of height that we went into the game with. We were missing Levi. Jammo was a late withdrawal. That obviously hurt us down back. And I guess the freakish game that Todd Goldstein had.
Well, if you look at the outcome, Tony, the two best players for North Melbourne were Todd Goldstein and Tarrant. Tarrant being the key defender.
Yeah.
In the absence of Cruiser and Carlton's key forward, Casbolt. So all power to North. They took full toll of the advantage there in personnel. Was a slashing game from Goldstein. It started with him.
The ruck work and to give first advantage, first use of the ball to the midfielders he was in stunning form.
And I do feel for Daniel Gorridge. First game for the club. Yeah. I mean, he was basically thrown to the wolves. But as he said himself afterwards, probably what he learnt most was that he needs another 12 months in the gym to at least compete with ruckman like Goldstein for strength.
Yeah.
And watching those contests closely, it was amazing to see how magnificently Goldstein has perfected the art, you know, to jump into Gorringe and just lever himself and get first hands on the ball. And it started from there, and unfortunately our on-ballers really never got a look in. I mean, they were flat-footed from the moment Goldstein won control of the football, and it pretty much set the tone for the whole day. And there were so many easy clearances to North Melbourne in the middle that, you know, everyone was under the pump. And unfortunately, the Carlton players just couldn't find a way out. So,
well, even when he was being rotated out of the ruck and was lurking forward, he was in scintillating form there as well.
Damaging form there. You know, he's a great player.
Yeah.
You know, all credit to him for the performance. Did what had to be done, and he did it with telling effect.
Mm. Just want to point out, you know, he's a son of Abraham. There's one club that's done more for, you know, for The Chosen than any other, well, and that's the current football club,
that's
Todd.
That's very true. Never too late to defect,
yeah.
Todd, if you're listening.
Come on. one thing that that Brendan Bolton did point out, he was asked in the press conference afterwards, the green sprouts, and he mentioned the form of Sumner, Byrne and Doherty. Doc gets mentioned pretty much week in, week out on the two tones. Sumner, I'm just a massive fan of.
Massive fan. Lovely player, you know, and small man, but big heart. Plays tall, and he runs down blokes too. He's quick across the paddock, and a hard nut, you know. So they're the sort of fellows that Carlton has probably needed in the mix for some time, and you think of those trades and, you know, Dibs Mali De Silvani for what he's done to get those sorts of players into the club. I think they just bring an edge to Carlton that we really needed. And also, because they've been in the system a little bit, these are the players that Carlton needed to stand tall this year.
Yeah.
I said to someone earlier, Tone, when you talk about the green shoots, what a shame that with those first-year players, we haven't had a chance to see a lot of them. You know, Jakob Vietering is back in the team, which is great to see. We still haven't seen Mackay. We still haven't seen Cunningham and Jack Silvani, of course, and Charlie Curnow's overcoming illness. It would have been great to see those guys getting games into their young bodies. You know, we just have to be a bit more patient. But they're the green shoots I really want to see. But for the moment, yes, it's those players like Sumner and Lamb and Kerridge that are probably carrying the can for us. And all
the lateral recruits, you'd call them, I guess.
Yes, very, very true.
Byrne's form has definitely been interesting. He's great to watch. His turn of speed's fantastic, and he's quickly developing football smarts.
Oh, he is. He's a smart user of the ball. He makes good decisions, and he's had a lovely kick also. Doesn't seem to panic. I recall the week before in that Port game when the whips were cracking, that mark he took in the last line just to repel that Port thrust late, it showed plenty of composure and poise, you know, for the moment in the game. And you can see how more comfortable he's becoming with every quarter that he plays, that he feels at home. And I think as a rebounding halfback flanker, he's fast becoming an important player in the Carlton machine. And we have to remember also that that a player that was probably doing that for Carlton until he broke down was Kieran Sheehan.
Yeah.
There's another player that hopefully,
coming
back from injury, is going to find a place in that outfit also. So
yes,
so there is upside. There is upside, Tony. Amongst the doom and gloom of that, you know, pretty significant loss to North, we know that there's going to be an upside to this team as the Carlton story plays out over 2016.
Well, you look at the tutelage of Byrne's getting also from Simo down back and Doc as well. He's in very good hands here in terms of the leadership that he's getting.
Yes.
I wanted to speak to you a bit more, Tone, about the game of Gorringe. He's got a number that carries a lot of weight at the Carlton Football Club.
Yes, I did pop the question to him afterwards, Tone, do you know who Wayne Harms is? And he was aware of who Wayne Harms actually is. And made the point that he wears the 37 Guernsey with pride.
Awesome.
And is so proud to be at a traditional Melbourne club that has given him another chance, because by his own admission, he was on the scrap heap when he finished at Gold Coast. So interesting with Gorringe, you know, he acknowledged that, you know, in the context with Goldstein, he was very much up against it. But looking at Gorringe, seems to be an extremely athletic player. And I just wonder, you know, when Phillips comes back, Cruiser returned, whether Gorringe becomes an option as a key forward.
Mm.
To me, it looks like he's mobile enough and agile enough to be able to compete in the air and at ground level.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering whether that may be a future role for a player like Gorringe. You know, maybe a key position that gets an odd go at it as a pinch hitter in the ruck, you know. One question I asked myself looking at that game of the weekend was, and I don't know the circumstances, but whether Cameron Wood might have been a better option on Goldstein, being the bigger body, the more experienced player. and you had Gorringe playing also in 10-minute bursts to give Wood a spell, maybe going forward. Might have been interesting to see how that would have panned out. But, however, I think with Daniel Gorringe, there's a little bit there, I think, that I think Carlton can work with. And he may become, you know, a very important player to us elsewhere as our ruck stocks are bolstered again. So
what do you do space? In a situation like that? Because you said he, by his own admission, wants another year in the gym. I mean, he's putting on weight, muscle, conditioning, body strength, all that sort of stuff. What, with an eye to becoming that swing roll ruckman who can lurk down forward?
Well, I think first and foremost he's a ruckman, a ruckman slash forward, and I think he played most of his football as a follower with the Suns. But in saying that, you know, I just look at him and I was so impressed by his athleticism. You know, we saw that Jackie Chan, you know, mid-air kick for that goal out of nowhere, which was a brilliant bit of play, actually. And you just see that that he has got the wherewithal in terms of his athleticism that with it hopefully comes a versatility, you know, that he may be able to tie down a key forward post just as much as, you know, following duties against the likes of Goldstein and co. So we await with interest.
Well, we do, and we no doubt know that he'll do that number proud, and hopefully in a grand final against Collingwood, find the ball, you know, kind of rolling somewhere around punt road and just gently tap it back.
Was it in or out, Tony? Just a bit of interest.
Well, you ask the great man himself. He always says it's out. He just loves to see people's reaction. on that, I mean, it's my dream, as you know, Tony DeBolfo, to open up our own drinking hole for the Two Tones and to call it the Wayne Arms. That's where people can come and watch the game and just basically, we'll have that 30 seconds of play on repeat from the 1979 Grand Final.
Well, I'm hoping that after this podcast, Tony, you'll be heading down to the Great Northern to make a business offer to the proprietor down there.
Yeah, watch me go. Now, another interesting thing, but he's a definite favourite of the Two Tones, but the great man him spoke, he came down from the mountain with two tablets, Jakob Wittering.
Wasn't it great to see him back in the fold, Tony?
It really was, but I was, he was on, and look, I'm very sorry for not being able to remember the name of the show that he was on, but it's on the Carlton website, you can see. Future Stars.
Oh, yes, on Sunday. Informed. I saw that. Yes.
Now, they do their research on that show, and good on them. They were talking to Jakob about a game he was playing in the under-16s.
Yes.
Did you know about this, Tony?
No, go on.
Okay. First half, he kicks 14 goals for his team. Then they say, the opposition are a bit undermanned. Would you mind playing for them? No problem. He swaps sides and kicks another 8. And now plays in the back.
Well, there's a team man, if ever there was one.
Exactly.
And wasn't it magnificent to see him just, you know, slot back in, you know. You know, it is, you have to sort of pinch your cheeks to remind yourself that this kid's in his first year at the top level, and it's hand in glove. Like, he comes back in, he's missed a fortnight, which is a real shame because, you know, two of the great performances, particularly the Port game. And it's just business as usual for the great man. And, you know, you can just see that as he grows into the role, it becomes a linchpin of a very sound Carlton defence. And it's exciting. I think that's what supporters should glean most out of the year, to see the development of these kids and how you see the improvement, not only game to game, but even quarter to quarter. You know, it's that dramatic.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just when I see Jakob Wittering play, I just remind myself how fortunate we are to have a player like that at our club, and the future's bright with his likes going around in the dark navy blue, Tony. That's for sure.
Damn right. Well, now we I guess we must turn ourselves to the almost melancholy duty of doing the 3-2-1 tie.
Yes. Well, I said to you off air, didn't I, that we've had problems in recent weeks with the voting in terms of who to leave out, whereas this week the problem is who do you put in. Mm. It wasn't easy to come up with three best players for Carlton, but I'll throw to you first, Tony. It'd be interesting to see your how you assessed it.
Gee, that's hard. Well, I'm going to go one vote to Daisy because I liked his game.
Okay, yes.
I think he's one of those players that we're all watching closely because of the, you know, couple of years he's had. And that on-field leadership, I think, is still standing out. And I just love the way he goes about it. Byrne, I'm going to give two votes to because he just continues to mature and give us great run off the half back. And I just love his footy smarts and watching them develop. And I'm giving three to Sumner because I'm just a big fan. And I just think he's just one of those players who, no matter where the team is at, is contributing the whole time. And
well,
I love that.
Yes. I actually pitched for Sumner for one. I agree with what you say about Liam Sumner and a great pickup he has been for the club. Two to Kieran Byrne. I thought he was outstanding as a rebounding halfback, and you can just see, you know, how a vital player he's become in that defensive six. And Sam Doherty, I went three votes. He's had an absolutely stellar year.
Yeah.
I'd say with Gibbs, he's probably leading our best and fairest at the moment. And how lucky we are that we rest him from Brisbane's grasp because he's got a big heart. He plays out of his, you know, weight range, I reckon. Just a very, very good player for Carlton and a great leader for Carlton too. So there are my 3-2-1, Tone.
Not going to argue with any of those. Now, it's Carlton v Geelong, Sunday, 29th of May, 1:10 p.m. Boy, do these games always have... Well, something interesting always happens with Geelong. And they're a great rival. They're a team that I find very hard to hate. I do like Geelong, and I really look forward to Carlton-Geelong games.
Yes, and we've got the Cats on the rebound, obviously, so it ain't going to be easy, that's for sure. But again, it's a challenge that presents presents a new challenge for the Carlton team on the rebound also.
Mm.
So it will be interesting to see how the players pick themselves up off the deck after that pretty sound defeat, the hands of North, to take on another team that's obviously merely a fairly concerted challenge for the 2016 Premiership. So, again, these are opportunities for Carlton to really, you know, make an impression. Let's see how they respond this week, Tony.
This question without notice, Tony DeBolfo, but do you know who's back from injury? Do you know what the starting
that's
play
a very
is
good
there?
Question. I suspect that Phillips the ruckman is still another week away, unfortunately. I don't know who else is knocking on the door at this stage. I suspect that we pulled up okay after the North game, so I don't have an early call on who may be knocking on the door. The only thing I will say there is that I think Christian Yarks has been in reasonable form. So we may well have Yarks and Jakob going around in dark navy blue in the main game on Sunday afternoon, Tone.
That's good. We're all about the soft J's here at the Two Tones.
Yeah, you like a Jarlsberg, do you, Tone?
Certainly do. Now, Tone, I mean, I know I bring this up a lot whenever Geelong are mentioned, but that notorious game here at Icon Park.
Yes.
What year was it, 99 or 2000? The 2001.
Yes,
were you at that game?
I was at that game. I was up in the press box, which was overlooking the dugout where it was all
that's
happening.
Yeah.
How Milburn ever got out of this grid alive is beyond me. They, you know, it's often mentioned the ghost tours of Princess Park here, Tone, that incident with Silvani. You know, people that may not remember, you know, Silvani was... well, basically decked by Milburn. A shocking incident. The equivalent of the killing of Bambi, as people will remember. And I do recall, you know, seeing the... it all erupted when Milburn, running off the ground, gave the salute to the Carlton faithful.
Not his smartest move.
It wasn't the greatest move of all time. And they say he was holed up in the rooms for 2 hours after the game because there was a welcoming committee, you know, out on the grass here waiting for him, and the story goes that they got him out and with a Hessian bag over his head. So there's no love lost there.
No.
You know, we don't forget here at Carlton, Tony, and the supporters that were there, you know, were baying for Milburn's blood.
And you remember Justin Murphy, who was on the bench at the same time.
Yes, in a Geelong strip. Yes. And shaking his head at Millburn. You just
don't
do that.
Wouldn't sit next to him.
No.
And, he moved down the other end of the bench from memory. Now,
well played,
keep in
Murph.
Mind, yeah, Justin well Murph was a pivotal player in the 99 prelim final.
He was. And then went awesome. Down with a knee a week later, the fickle nature of football.
There you go. It's a cruel beast. Before we go, Tone, I just want to let everyone know that to celebrate the AFL's Sir Doug Nicholls Indigenous Round, the Carlton Football Club has created a limited edition membership with proceeds to support Carlton's Sid Jackson Scholarship. There are two packages on offer which both contain a variety of benefits, including a special player card pack. The pack features 10 of Carlton's past and present Indigenous players, such as Cyril Mann, Justin Murphy and Mark Naley. You'll also receive a specially designed membership card featuring Blues Indigenous star Andrew Walker, as well as a premium medallion club level 2 reserve seat for our round 10 Sir Doug Nicholls Indigenous round clash with Geelong. Head to carltonfc.com.au for more details.
And I've seen the cards, Tony, and they're truly collectible. So, yes, it's a nice thing that the club has done.
Great work, and there's some great players in there too. Tone, we will reconvene in a week's time to discuss how Carlton have fared against Geelong.
Looking forward to it, Tony.
Until then, go Blues. This has been Tony DeBolfo and Tony Moclair on the Two Tones.